Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, so the rain swept here earlier, and it's gotten a little cooler. It's going to be cooler by this afternoon and tomorrow. So nice to have this fall weather through here. And, of course, everybody's watching this tropical thing in the Gulf of Mexico that could be headed in this direction. It could sweep across us. And the big concern there is that the water could bring weight to the dangling sections of the Hard Rock Hotel, and that could cause vertical collapse. So they're very concerned about that. Apparently, one of the construction towers cranes is moving a little bit, and so that's very unsettling because if you just look at the physics of it, that could fall on the Sanger. And there's so many people who just can't even go to work. And there was some guy, David Hammer, had on Channel 4, had a report on the news at noon. And there is this video from a Spanish-speaking worker, and it's translated. And he's on one of the top floors, and he's talking about the lack of beams. And there's not enough support beams. And so this is all part of this conversation about design flaws. Or construction flaws. I don't know if it's design or the actual construction. But this is not supposed to happen. And it shouldn't have happened. And somebody should have to pay for this. I mean, I don't know whether it's criminally or financially. But somebody has to be held accountable for this. Because this just doesn't happen. And if it does, something or somebody is to blame. But yeah, if you watch this, I'm sure it'll be on Channel 4. It may be on their website as well. But the guy even shows one support beam that's bending because it's not strong enough to hold what's on top of it because there are not enough of them. All right, I'm Scoot. It's a Wednesday, so we're halfway through the week. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking a little bit about the Democratic debate last night. And, you know, we try to have as much fun with this as we can. But I'm bringing you some of the highlights from CNN last night of the Democratic candidates debating. And I don't know if anybody's mind was really changed. A lot of people attacked Elizabeth Warren because she now leads in the polls. It's Elizabeth Warren. Joe Biden is now in second place. And I think Bernie Sanders is third. And I think Pete Buttigieg has moved up to fourth place in the polls. This is the mayor from South Bend, Indiana. And if you would have thought months ago that there was going to be a mayor from a city that is going to be a prominent presidential candidate. I know many people were thinking that was going to be Mitch Landrieu, but it did not work out that way. Also, in just a moment, I want to play for you the moment that turned out to be the top Google search during the debate of the Democrats last night. And it had nothing to do with the debate itself, but it was the top Google search. So we're going to play that for you in just a moment. Here is Beto O'Rourke, and you know he's talking about this this gun buying back assault weapons and banning them. Here's what he said last night.
Those who've lost a loved one to an AR-15, an AK-47, marched for our lives, formed in the courage of students willing to stand up to the NRA and conventional politics and poll-tested politicians. That was a slap in the face to every single one of those groups and every single survivor of a mass casualty assault with an AR-15 and an AK-47. We must buy them back.
Yeah, he does have some really far-out ideas, really too far out, I think, to win the nomination, or if he won the nomination, to win the election. You know, there were times last night, something that really bothered me was, you know, I noticed this particularly with Elizabeth Warren. She can be very arrogant. And look, there were Republicans that did the same thing. Candidates can be very arrogant when it comes to time's up. You know, they just their time is up. They know their time is up. They've been told their time is up and they keep going. And then they've been reminded their time's up and they keep going. And to me, that just shows a bullying mentality and just a lack of respect for the system that they're part of. Pete Buttigieg, who is moving up in the polls. I mean, he's jumped over a lot of people. He talks about the fight on gun reform.
I don't need lessons from you on courage, political or personal. Everyone on this stage is determined to get something done. Everyone on this stage recognizes, or at least I thought we did, that the problem is not other Democrats who don't agree with your particular idea of how to handle this. The problem is the National Rifle Association and their enablers in Congress, and we should be united in taking the fight to them.
And Cory Booker last night was talking about the problem of these candidates attacking each other.
You know, we've got one shot to make Donald Trump a one-term president. Mm-hmm. And how we talk about each other in this debate actually really matters. I've had the privilege of working with or being friends with everybody on this stage, and tearing each other down because we have a different plan, to me, is unacceptable. I have seen this script before. It didn't work in 2016, and it will be disaster for us in 2020.
Hey, do you agree with him? I mean, how do you stand out if you don't attack the others? And again, we just talked about this briefly last hour. It's not enough to just be positive because of human nature. And to say something negative about somebody is a lot more memorable than saying something positive about yourself or somebody else. So one of the great ways that politicians position themselves is by saying something negative, not something good about them, but something negative about their opponent. And we're going to see a lot of that, apparently, in this runoff between Edwards and Rasponi here in Louisiana. From Denham Springs, Greg, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot. Yeah, I had a comment about an earlier segment you were doing about the Ellen thing, but something you just said. You said Beto O'Rourke's ideas were wacko.
Some of them are. His ideas about banning guns unrealistic.
Well, he doesn't say banning guns. He says he wants to ban civilians from having military assault weapons. Do you agree or disagree that civilians should have military weapons in their homes?
Yeah, I'm very ambivalent about that because I don't know if it's going to if banning. Let me finish. I don't know if banning them is going to solve the problem. And you can't go door to door and take back the ones that are already there.
Well, you can do a mandatory buyback. Civilians are not allowed to have military weapons.
Who's going to sell?
I don't
back?
Know how you can be ambivalent about something about like. That well, I'm all I'm, these mass shootings. I'm, but I, look, you don't want to take
wait,
a position.
Wait,
that's
wait a minute.
Understandable.
Hey, Greg, hang on. I'm not ambivalent about the mass shootings. I'm ambivalent about the results of a ban. I'm ambivalent that that's going to solve the problem. That's what I'm not sure about.
The easy thing to look at is countries that have banned them. Like Australia banned them after they had a mass shooting, and how many have they had since?
You know, but this is a whole different experiment. I'm not excusing it. It shouldn't be different, but it's different because there's a collective mentality in America that is different than are the countries, and it's a shame. But sometimes our freedom has given us the freedom to be negative in the wrong ways.
Well. I will agree to disagree. I don't think civilians should have military weapons in their home. But the other thing I was pointing out, you were talking about the collapse of the Hard Rock, and the one thing you talked about who could be responsible. You know, in a way, you have to look at Eddie Rasponi. Like, you know, he has talked about that he fought all these regulations and got rid of regulating the industry that he's in, and he was in construction. So what you have is an unregulated industry. And that's why these kind of collapses happen, because if an inspector had gone on that site, we wouldn't have had all these people die. We wouldn't have all these businesses shut down. So, you know, when all these people sit there and say, oh, I'm getting rid of regulation. Well, look, here's the results of getting rid of regulation.
Well, we don't know yet, but that is possible. And it's not fair. Well, I have to be fair here. It's not fair to blame Eddie Rasponi for that. But the concept of removing regulations is something that could be a factor in the collapse.
Yeah, well, he's quite proud to tell you that he's, you know, he has fought regulations and he's getting rid of red tape. I mean, this is what happens. Like, when you get rid of regulations, there's no more inspectors or less inspections, and the companies, they flout the rules. Like, that, you know, and that the consequence is what we have right now in New Orleans of getting rid of regulations like Rasponi wants.
But we don't know yet. We don't know yet, Greg.
So the other thing I was, well, you know, if there were inspectors on that site, it would have been shut down, right?
We don't know yet.
If things were bending.
We don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, and the point, I'm sorry, I've gone
right.
off here a little
it's
bit.
Okay.
But the thing I was pointing out earlier was that you were saying that people were upset that Ellen was friends with a conservative. No one said that Ellen shouldn't be friends with people that are conservative. But, you know, George Bush tried to change the United States Constitution to treat gay people like second-class citizens. Like, that's somebody you shouldn't embrace. Like, if you know, as a gay woman, you think she would have a little more self-awareness that this guy, he didn't just have a different thought about her, about economics. He wanted to change the United States Constitution to make gay people second-class citizens. Now, do you think that's somebody you should embrace?
Well, no, I don't think that's somebody you should embrace. But at the same time, you know, I can't speak for Ellen. But I do know this, Greg, that it is possible to totally disagree with somebody's politics and also be friends with them. And that's what this really comes down to. And people can say, well, Bush is a war criminal, or Bush is that, or Bush is that. You can use all those excuses and say it's different in this case, but it's not, because the fact remains that people sometimes choose to be friends with somebody they totally disagree with.
Yeah, no, I'm friends with people that I disagree with. But if somebody tried to make a law where that would have made me a criminal for my life, that's not somebody you should embrace.
Well, but no matter what, Greg, it comes down to we disagree. You disagree with that person, but Ellen decided that she is still friendly with him. I don't think that they hang out together, but she decided that she's friendly with him, even though there's that disagreement, and that's, I guess, not for you to decide.
Well, no, it's not, but I'm not. But you're saying that people are mad because she was friends. No one said that. No one is saying
you can't be friends with people of other political views.
You can't be friends with people that tried to criminalize your life.
All right, this is a dead end road. I appreciate the call. Yeah, here's the point. It's real simple. There was criticism of Ellen for sitting next to a conservative ex-president, a Republican, George W. Bush. Now, there are reasons that people are specifically upset with Ellen sitting next to Bush because they think he's a war criminal, or they, as this last caller suggests, that he tried to make gay people second-class citizens. And to be honest with you, I don't remember that much about that legislation. Not that this is right, but politicians often do things to appease their voters. And what if he doesn't really believe that himself, and that was strictly something that he did at work? The bottom line is, Ellen made a decision, regardless of what specifics you think about George W. Bush. She made a conscious decision to sit next to George W. Bush and to laugh with him and to defend herself, saying she is friends with him. She is friendly with him, even though they disagree. It doesn't matter how much you agree with George W. Bush. The point is, she decided she can be friends with him. And so that's why I thought the question last night toward the end of the debate of, for each of the candidates, who are you friends with that might surprise us? And some people were critical of that question. And I think in these days of the great political divide in America, it's a fair question to ask people. You know, because we'd like to know that we can disagree on some things, but yet still see ourselves as Americans first. That's the way I interpret it. If you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back. And also, we're going to play the commercial from Ron Reagan promoting this atheist organization. It was the top Google search during the debate last night. That's coming up next on WWL. Last night, during the debate of the Democrats on CNN, Google sent out this trend, and the top Google search during the debate was Ron Reagan's commercial. Was the name Ron Reagan, because Ron Reagan had done a commercial promoting an atheist organization. The organization is Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, the son of Ronald Reagan, is an atheist. If you're on hold, hang on. I'm going to get to all of your calls. Also, we've got some great texts to get to. But I want to share this with you. For those of you who are not familiar with this, this is a couple of years old, but it aired last night during the debate on CNN. Here is the son of former President Ronald Reagan.
Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Okay, explain to me why that is so controversial. He certainly has a right to be an atheist. He certainly has a right to do that. Do you think people were curious about the organization? You think they were curious about Ron Reagan, or do you think they were outraged? And I think the part at the very end where he says, I'm a lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. I think that shocks a lot of people. But are you shocked that Ronald Reagan's son is an atheist and so different from his father? And that brings me to this. Are your beliefs vastly different from your parents? And here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Do your religious beliefs differ greatly from what your parents taught you? Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. I think people are shocked. Oh my God, that's the son of the former president. That's the son of Ronald Reagan. How could he be an atheist? Are you going to tell me that your kids are just like you? And are you just like your parents? And it look, he's not forcing you to join. It's a commercial that promotes this organization, and this is a country where you are free to be an atheist or agnostic, and he's promoting the organization. Why is that so shocking? Why is that so dangerous? Nobody's going to become an atheist just because they saw that commercial. Nobody's going to become an atheist just because they Googled Ron Reagan and the organization, Freedom From Religion Foundation. Now, if somebody Googles this and goes and checks out the organization and becomes an atheist, it's because they were already predisposed to that. I don't believe that just because Ron Reagan supports this that somebody's going to become an atheist or agnostic. But if you're thinking in that direction, then maybe he introduces you to it, which really is the purpose of commercials, right? All right, let me get back to your calls. From New Orleans, Henry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, yeah, you know, Democrats claim, you know, they want to help the middle class. Well, if you really want to help the middle class, you need to realize how people start businesses. No one that has never owned a business has ever gave me a job. No poor person has ever gave me a job. You're going to create higher taxes for these people that own businesses. You know, what will they do? Hire less people or leave, like a lot of these businesses have done. They have fled the country for greener pastures. And now the tariffs are being shoved on them to bring their product back because we want the businesses back. There is no better way to help the middle class is to leave these business owners alone so they can hire people. You really want to help the middle class? You need to leave the 1% alone and let them do what they've been doing best for. It takes a lot to own a business. You take a big risk. Most of these people put up the house or something to start something. You can't tax them and expect them to hire people and to stay away from here. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I basically agree with that, Henry. I wish everybody paid their fair share. And go ahead.
They do, you know, just because they pay a percentage, they make more money and they pay.
Some don't pay any. You're paying more taxes than a lot of the 1%.
Not me.
Yeah, you personally.
I'm paying more. Yeah, How do I pay more than them?
Because there are so many ways that they can bring things down to a point where they don't pay taxes.
To write off whatever they can.
Right.
To pay less taxes. Everybody does that. I mean, I do that too.
I know, but you can't get. Can. You're not going to get. But what I'm saying is that in your case, you're paying more than some of the 1%.
Well, you know, I can't argue with that because I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. But as far as not, you know, running them away, running them away and not hiring people, make them pay more in taxes or try to get them to pay more in taxes.
Well, I agree. I think there should be a flat tax. I think everybody should pay the same percentage. Everybody should pay, but everybody should pay the same percentage. And I don't think you should punish people for being rich.
Well, then you gotta change the rules on taxes, and that'll take the Republicans and Democrats to get together and do that, and that ain't gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen.
That ain't gonna happen.
You're right about that.
And as far as the gun buyback, look, guns are here to stay. There's no gun buyback. If somebody want to buy my AR-15, the government. $500,000. You want to buy it? Like, everybody's going to line up and sell their guns back to the government.
Well, that's the point, Henry. I mean, people who want their guns and bad people are not going to give up their guns. They're not going to sell their guns back to the government. Buybacks, that's a voluntary thing. I mean, you can make it mandatory, but how are you going to make it mandatory? So it ultimately comes down to a person's willingness and volunteering to sell their weapon back to the government. And some people are not going to do that.
Nope, you're right. Some people ain't.
All right, Henry.
It's not. I just wish people would just. You know what? And the same people that want to have a gun buyback are the same ones that are criticizing police for being too rough on criminals. You know,
some of them. Yeah,
they'll be the first ones to complain when a criminal gets his head beat in for doing something wrong when he deserves to get his head beat in.
Well, wait a minute. Nobody deserves to get their head beat in just because they're being arrested. I mean, that's a flaw. You can't support the police being the judge and jury when they're arresting somebody. Now, if somebody's is resisting arrest to the point where there's no option, well, that's one thing. But just because somebody commits a crime, that throws out the window the whole concept of innocent until proven guilty.
Hey, let me, one more thing. You remember, and this is a point that with this, the sheriff, what's his name, Joe Lupino, whatever his name is, his commercial that he played was different from the Beretta line. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Well, if you realize that Joe Lupino's commercial said, if criminals got to know, if they do the crime, they're going to get caught fast. So there's no more time. Where's the time at? They don't do the time no more.
I think you're adding meaning to that's not really there. I think his point was just that if you commit a crime, you're going to get caught, it's understandable that if you get caught, you're going to spend time in jail.
They don't do time no more.
Yeah,
they don't.
Henry, many do. Okay, our prisons are full. So. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous to say they don't do time anymore. All right. But Henry, I'm happy that you were able to express your opinion. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. A real anti-government protest thing happened on this day, October 16th, 1967. Joan Baez was a popular singer. I think she had probably the worst voice in music. I mean, it just was awful. Joan Baez and about 120 other anti-draft demonstrators were arrested for blocking the entrance to a military facility in Oakland, California. They went to jail for 10 days. But yeah, there was this thing called the draft. And you might be pulled out of your life and sent to the military, even if you didn't want to go. And a lot of people were drafted, and a young generation really revolted and rebelled against that, and there were a lot of protests, including the one that happened on this day in 1967. I'm Scoot. Listen to her voice as we go to break. I mean, is this a terrible voice? I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Do your religious beliefs differ greatly from what your parents taught you? That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo poll question. 54% say no. And 46% say yes, and you can give us your opinion by going to WWL.com. So the top Google search during the debate of the Democrats last night on CNN was Ron Reagan, the son of 61-year-old son of former President Ronald Reagan. Ron Reagan's commercial promoting an atheist organization, Freedom From Religion Foundation. And at the very end, he says, I'm a lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. Why do you think that was so searched? Why do you think that was just such a top Google search? Were people shocked? Were they outraged? Were they curious? From Kenner, Steve, you're on WWL.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good.
I do think people were shocked, and I think it was for a political reason that they were shocked. Recently, both Bob Barr, our Secretary of State, and our Attorney General, Bob Barr, that's the Attorney General,
yeah.
And Pompeo is the Secretary of State,
right.
Have made religious speeches attacking secularism, attacking the division between church and state. And I think that both of those speeches set a dangerous precedent.
Where did they make the speeches, Steve?
Well, Barr made a speech attacking militant secularism just recently, and I think he made it at some sort of summit. And then the other fellow, Pompeo, did his speech about Christian leadership. And both of them have been criticized, but there has been a rising thing, especially on the right, that wants to include religion within government. And it's not just any religion. It's not any practice.
Right.
Of religion. It's not Catholicism. It's not a certain. It's something else. It's a political brand of religion. And I think that's what Ron Reagan is objecting to, and I think that's what many people object to.
Well, and I object to that as well. See, there is an attempt to blur the lines there between government and religion. And it's interesting that people who support a Christian-based government in this country are the same ones that do not want anything other than a secular government in foreign countries. Like the Middle East, for example. They don't want religion to be any part of the government there, but there are people who want religion to be part of our government here.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
I wanted to address what I think his name was Henry said before about more people in prison. I think we have more people in prison here in this country, and especially in Louisiana. I think Louisiana is the top of the per capita for more people in prison than anywhere else in the world.
Well, sure, for a caller
China
to say...
For
a caller to say that ain't nobody going to prison, you know, that nobody's doing time is like, well, that's kind of absurd.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that some people don't get away with it. All right, Steve, I'm glad you called our show. Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From Homa, Joe, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
All right. I watched the debate last night. I tortured myself. I watched the entire 3 hours.
3 hours? Oh, my God.
Oh, and then I was two hours late getting to it because I had worked. So it was midnight before I was done. Uh-huh. And I've watched all of them so far. And I know I'm torturing myself. I'm doing it just to make sure somebody doesn't come out a little different than before. And I think what we're getting a lot out of last night's debate is O'Rourke's stance. And I must say his name is Robert Francis O'Rourke, and he goes by Beto, and his stance on mandatory buyback of assault weapons, which is something that Kamala Harris also said she supports. And those are the two on that stage. The rest of them are like, this is a crazy idea, and I certainly wouldn't be pushing it full-throatedly. And so for us to talk about it, It's like that's a soundbite moment, you know.
Yeah, I don't remember what Kamala Harris's position is, but Beto O'Rourke is out there. I mean, it's a wacky concept. It might sound good on paper, and it might sound like it's something that's going to attract a certain number of voters to him. But certainly, there are not enough people in this country to support that concept. That would be any kind of a game changer when it comes to becoming president of the United States.
Right, especially to be a viable candidate when you look at the numbers, the majority of the people in this country believe in the rights for us to own guns. And we know, man to man, that getting assault weapons off the streets will make an impact. We don't know if it'll change anything where we're not worried about gun deaths anymore. I mean, there are more deaths by handguns than there are by these military-style weapons, but the military-style weapons are a problem. So I know he's coming from a place of good in his heart. It's just not going to cut it. Now, my impression is you have to start far from the left if you're going to fight the right. And then when you compromise, you come to an agreement, and hopefully it's what the majority of the American people want. So I'm not against fighting from the far left. I think that Bernie Sanders won last night because anybody that tried to attack him, he had a great comeback. He's always been studious with the numbers, and he presents the issues, and he has a plan to fight all of it. And, you know, Warren says she does too, but she's kind of Johnny-come-lately. I mean, she's brought up these plans in this last year because she's running for president. But Bernie Sanders, everything that he's been talking about for 30, 40 years, he's actually proposed bills. There are bills on the floor of the Congress, you know, waiting to be voted on that he's presented time and time again. I think that's a distinction between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Right. I wanted to say that.
And Joe, hang on, because I want to play a comment that Bernie Sanders made last night about his health and marijuana.
Now to the issue of candidates and their health. Senator Sanders, I want to start with you. I want to start. We're moving on, Senator. I'm
healthy.
Sorry.
I'm feeling great, but I would like to respond to that question.
I want to start by saying.
And Senator Sanders is in favor of medical marijuana. I want to make sure that's clear as well.
Thank you.
Senator Sanders, this debate does mark your.
Wait a minute. Did you catch that? He said, I'm not on it tonight.
Right.
So, you know, maybe Bernie lights up a spleef now and then.
Well, he's always, and I've followed him for a few years now. He says that he tried it when he was younger. Yeah. He said he doesn't like it. So I believe him. I mean, I know that he's way there on the left, but I appreciate that. When you go to the negotiating table, if you're Barack Obama and you go to the negotiating table with a right-wing health care program like the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans who were they created this. OK, so when Barack Obama went to the table with it, he thought, I'm going to get their votes. Well, not a single Republican voted for it. They changed their tune all of a sudden when actually that mandate was dreamt up by the Heritage Foundation, a right wing think tank. So that's what I'm talking about. If Barack Obama would have at least gone to the table with Medicare for All, we may have gotten a public option out of the deal to go along with the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act did a lot of good stuff, but it doesn't do enough.
Joe, I have to get to a break here. Are you Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal?
I am independent, but I stand on the left. I'm way on the left, okay. But I am not with those liberals, and certainly not with Ellen defending war criminals.
So who do you think really stood out? Who do you think would be the biggest challenge to President Bush from what you saw up to last night and last night included?
Trump, the biggest challenger to Trump, without a doubt, Bernie Sanders. It's the populism. It's the anti-establishment that everyone was going with the last time. There was no one more establishment than Hillary Clinton. People knew that. It's not racist voting for Trump. Yes, a racist will vote for Trump, but there are people who want to see a change in the system, a real change. Now, when Bernie Sanders calls himself a democratic socialist, he's actually putting a label on the change that people want.
Yeah, people are freaked out by the term socialist. Joe, I've got to move on. I enjoyed our conversation. A democratic socialist is not a socialist. But anyway, that's a topic for another show. So the top Googled search was for Ron Reagan during the debate last night for his commercial for an atheist organization. I'm Scooch. We're coming back on WWL. It was on this day, October 16th, 1968, this band, the New Yardbirds, performed their first concert at a club in London. They later changed their name to Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page was part of that band. So was Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck. Yeah, check out the New Yardbirds. Yeah, they became Led Zeppelin. I got a code word coming up. We're going to talk about American Pie and do the lyrics in American Pie relate to America today. The code word this hour is SAND, S-A-N-D. Text S-A-N-D to 72881. Text SAND, S-A-N-D to 72881. This is a chance for you to win some free cash, $1,000. It's our nationwide Entercom National Cash Contest. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates may apply. And please don't text and drive. Our next code word is coming up right before the top of the hour news at 4 o'clock. So, yeah, I talked to Don McLean yesterday, and that interview is still available on demand, podcast on our website. We'll tell you about how to get to that if you missed it. But in the conversation, we talked a lot about American Pie. Are the lyrics relatable to America today? That's coming up next. I'm Scoot on WWL.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.